Out of the stone of the line of Jesse will grow, grow a shoot. It's a new branch bearing fruit, fruit from the old root. Out of the stone of the line of Jesse will grow, grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit.
In that day, the wolf and the lamb to me. You inherit me. I inherit you. I am the language you speak to me. As far as the eye could see,
get place, putting on my happy face. How are you? I'm doing fine. Underneath, I'm slowly dying. Stuff all my problems down, make some music, drown it out. Learned about the grieving cycle, still at stage one in denial. Think it's time to be honest with me. Healing is hard, think we all would agree. Hell, God is wish, got me keeping busy. Verdict is sin, everybody's guilty. Feelings are
Kia ora, kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. Lots happening in the studio today. Got lots of activity, which is really good. Welcome to Friday. Welcome to my show if you're tuning in. It's good to have you here and listening. And I've got an interview coming up with Bill Ferns. I know him through church, and he's going to tell us a little bit about who he is and what he does. And you might find out some real surprises in there. But until we get there, we're going to carry on with some good sounds.
Everyone else has left now. I bet that this got you stressed out. Wondering, what can we do now? Maybe let it burn out.
Chasing wish we could live forever, then melt into the sun, melt into the sun. Time is gonna change you, want to get you on the run, get you on the run. There will be a light. There will be a light. There will be a light. There will be a light.
I've been running ever since I was a child. Some call it free, and some call it wild.
race against the sunlight. Wanna have a long night. Nightmare stories under spotlight. Don't let me out of your sight. Two energies got you stressed out, wondering what can we do now. Maybe let it burn out.
Thank you.
forever, then melt into the sun, melt into the sun. Time is gonna change you, want to get you on the run, get you on the run. There will be, there will be, there will be a light. There will be a light. There will be, there will be, there will be a light. There will be a light.
I've been running ever since. Ever since I was a child, some call it free, and some call it wild.
There will be, there will be, there will be.
just barely throwing up prayers like Hail Marys if you're still there. Lord, spare me. Oh my God, Hail Mary. Hanging in there, just barely throwing up prayers like Hail Marys if you're still there. Lord, spare me.
Amen. That was Need a Favour by Jelly Roll. A really cool song. So in the studio, I'm just going to put your mic on. There we go. In the studio, I've got Bill in with me. Welcome, Bill.
Yeah, thank you, Marie. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. And I've also got a friend of Bill's called Stimpy. I'm going to put your mic on. There you go, Stimpy.
Hey.
Hey, welcome, welcome. Now, thank both you. These guys are from AA.
That's right.
And I've got both your mics on, so I'll just let you know that Stimpy is. And that is your real name, isn't it?
Yeah, my dad's name. Dad was called Stimpy. It's our surname. And Stimson is our surname, yeah.
It's just, I love it. That's so cool. That's got to be a signature mark right there, eh? That's pretty cool. Okay, so I know Bill from church, and yesterday I filmed a testimony of Bill's that we're going to play on Sunday. Which was pretty amazing, very special to be a part of that with you and do that. And that testimony was about your journey with alcohol and why you do what you're doing. So that's my kind of intro for you, Bill. So maybe tell us a little bit about who you are, where you come from, your family, and what I've got you in for today, which is around alcohol and faith.
Thanks, Marie. Yeah, I identify normally when I'm talking in groups as Bill, recovering alcoholic, because that reminds me of who I am today. Basically, my journey started as a young boy in England and came to New Zealand in 1970. We moved around a lot, so there wasn't a lot of stability in my life. I also had a really bad speech impediment, which I really suffered with and got teased a lot. And life was quite difficult in the growing up stages. And I shared in my testimony yesterday that I actually found being isolated. I also suffered a little bit from depression, which was quite tough as a kid. In hindsight, I should have probably gone and got some help. But I struggled through, as you do, harden up, be a man. And later on in life, left me with all sorts of emotional problems that I had to sort out myself, and the easiest way at the time was to medicate.
Yeah, okay. So kind of give me the age frame you're at when you started to notice that maybe the wheels weren't all turning in the same direction.
Yeah, as far back as I can remember, unfortunately. I did leave school when I was 14, and then I was surrounded by adults that did whatever they liked. So I became a young adult at 14, drinking and driving and doing all that sort of stuff. Most of my people around me were definitely older than me.
And what made you think that you had depression? Kind of what informed you there?
I always felt sad. I had no reason to be. I had a good upbringing. My parents were awesome, still are. I felt isolated. If I was at a party, I felt like I was on my own, even at a room full of people. And that's I couldn't understand why I felt like that. I played sports in group sports where there was lots of us, and even on a field, a paddock full of 20, 30 people playing sport, I still felt like I was the only one there on my own, and I didn't quite fit in like a square peg in a round hole.
Wow, and I guess that story that you just shared, how you felt, it can resonate with a lot of different people. Sometimes we can often feel like that. We don't quite fit the mould that people are putting us into. But for you, that was a little bit deeper because it affected you emotionally, it affected how you saw the world and relationships and, yeah, and how you engaged with people around you. So did you find that alcohol, what did that do for you? Like, was that something that you relied on to help those social situations?
Well, most definitely. You hear that a lot in the rooms. Alcohol actually took me out of myself. It gave me the confidence that I was lacking. I felt a part of, as opposed from apart from. And all those feelings that I was carrying seemed to dissipate. And alcohol definitely filled that gap for me. Unfortunately, it was fleeting, the feeling, so I drank more and more to get that feeling back. It came to a point where the alcohol wasn't really working anymore, and then I started experimenting with drugs.
Mm. Yeah, your honesty and your just your truthfulness there, really value that, Bill, because, I mean, I'm sitting in here with you and I know who you are, and that's, so I find this very special and hold it in high regard that you're here sharing part of your journey and your story with others. That, and I imagine it's helpful. It's often helpful to hear another person's story, to know that we're not alone in this world, and those feelings aren't just feelings that you might be feeling, that others do feel that too. So I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about how did you, like, where does your faith fall in all of this? So, you know that you've got problems, or that alcohol was your coping mechanism. So how did faith find its way into all of this?
When I was young, I used to go to the Christian camps, which I really loved. I'd come back and tell my parents that I was a Christian. And it didn't last long. Over weeks and months, I was back to the brat I was. There was lots of things happened to me over my life, which is just bizarre, that you can't rationalise, you can't explain away, you know, and they really they had to come from a higher power. Unfortunately, what I was doing was I was putting a barrier up between my higher power with what I was doing with my drugs and alcohol. I was getting the messages, but they were scrambled, so it wasn't until later on that my journey really started in my spirituality and finding the Lord.
Mm, that's so really cool. And did that start before coming to Raglan, or was this where your journey started?
My journey started, there was lots of things happening in my life. I wore two hats. I run businesses and had jobs which were quite demanding, and I needed to keep my stuff together to do those jobs. But as soon as outside of work, I was just a party animal. I couldn't get enough. You know, I had the disease of more. You couldn't put one of anything in front of me and expect me just to do one of anything. I did it all in excess, and I was holding it together not too badly for many years. And then all of a sudden I wasn't. It happened pretty much overnight. My health was starting to fail. My marriage was definitely starting to fail. And the writing was on the wall in regards to, I could see the end was near. In fact, I'd accepted that my disease was going to kill me, basically, and that was the price I was prepared to pay. I didn't see a way out. I was definitely locked in a prison.
I suppose for many people out there, that where alcohol has been or still is, a real issue in their lives, they can really relate to this really bleak place, dark place that one finds themselves. So how did you find your way out of that? What happened?
Well, that's quite a strange story, that, because I definitely was locked in a world where I didn't want to live anymore and I was too scared to die.
Wow.
And that's a terrible place to be. That's hell on earth. And my wife had actually left me at that stage, which meant that my house was going to be sold. I wasn't working anymore. My health was absolutely in tatters. My doctor told me that my vehicle was going to outlive me. And he was serious, looking at the results. But that didn't stop me. I went on for another year, doing whatever I liked as hard as I could. And I just got to a point where I can't claim any credit for what happened next. My higher power intervened. God intervened for me. And he said, Bill, you've suffered enough and now it's time. And that's what he told me. I still wasn't ready to give up. So I found myself ringing the doctor to get some advice, going to seek medical help from health professionals that are in the drug and alcohol field, and they put a plan together for me the night before that I was going to go into Waikato Hospital for a 7-day chemical detox. I was really scared, fearful. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I've never been there before, you know, 40 years of drug and alcohol abuse. And my higher power stepped in. That morning I woke up, two strange things happened to me. I didn't have a care in the world when I woke up. I was absolutely fearless. It was absolute peace and serenity. I can't explain it. I've never felt like that in my life. And I hope I feel that again. It was really bizarre. The other thing that my higher power, my God, did for me was to remove my cravings for alcohol and drugs. Totally removed that morning, even before I went into hospital. So he granted me two wishes. He gave me peace and serenity and removed my craving for drugs and alcohol, which I'll be forever grateful for. And that led me on the path of finding out who he was. When I got out of hospital, I was really interested to know why someone had intervened in my life, cared about me when I didn't care about myself. And that led me to Surfside Church, which I absolutely love. That fellowship was just amazing. The support that I got there, it actually felt, the first time in my whole life, actually felt a part of something. And it felt like my family. And I just love the feeling I get when I walk in there. And it's not just the church. It's outside of the church. You know, I have a lot to do with a lot of the members outside of the church. And my journey into my spirituality led me to get baptized before Christmas. That was absolutely life-changing for me, because that was my commitment, and that was removing all the stuff I'd done in the past, as long as I was willing to repent my sins, which I did. And I started with a clean slate, and that's absolutely freeing for me with the life that I'd had. And yeah, and then I carried on from there to get heavily involved in where I am now.
And I feel so privileged to be a part of this with you.
Thank you,
Bill. You're not the party animal. I don't see a party animal in front of me. I see a very peaceful, calm, and gentle man. But then people wouldn't recognise me if in my younger years, would not think that I'm the person who's sitting here today. So I know how God can work in our lives and bring out the very best, the gold, you know. And, yeah, it's a real privilege to be a part of that. So I'm going to move into a song, Look Up Child, by Lauren Daigle. If I can get the mouse going there. Yeah, this one's for all of us.
Where are you now, when darkness seems to win? Where are you now, when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, child. Hey, look up, child.
You're listening to Faith Matters on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. And sometimes things are just a matter of faith. So in the studio we have Bill and Stimpy. I can't believe I'm saying that.
I'm glad it gives you joy.
I get so much joy from this. Because Bill and Stimpy, I'm pretty sure, were a program on TV.
It's going to be.
You guys are gold. This is gold. You're going to roll with this one.
It was Ren and Stimpy. We're not copywriting
that. It was Ren and Stimpy, not Bill and Stimpy. Okay, too close to comfort. But hey, you both of you guys are from AA. Which is Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm just going to leave it open now to you. We've heard a beautiful your story, Bill, and what a precious story. And I really encourage people, if you didn't hear that, then listen back onto the podcast and on the radio station. You'll find Faith Matters podcasts. You can listen to any of the interviews that we have. I think in the last about 4 weeks, we've had Pastor Roger on that talked about us, gave us a story around Easter. Then we had Denise Gardner on, and that was last week. And Denise is actually talking at our church this Sunday. She's got an amazing word that she's going to bring us. And she talked to us last week about her story around Easter and what Easter meant for her. And that was a great interview, so I encourage you to have a listen to that. And this week we've got Bill on and Stimpy. But Bill was giving us his testimony around faith, his struggle with alcohol and where faith stepped in. And now we're just going to learn a little bit about AA and how that has come alongside to work with your faith and give you a community of people that you can relate with and talk to. So, just lead off, Bill, okay. And Stimpy, about who you are and, tell us a little bit about AA.
Okay, well, I'm Bill and I'm a recovering alcoholic and grateful to have found the Rooms of AA, which is another fellowship similar to the church. And just gives us massive amounts of support. People actually ask us, well, what is AA? And I'll get Stimpy to give us a rundown of what it really is. This is a short explanation of what AA really is. People don't have an understanding of what it is, but this is what it is.
You are putting me on the spot, William. I can't do any more justice to what AA is than reading out this preamble, which is shared in every AA meeting. I'll just read it out. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Thank you, Stimpy. That's quite a touching preamble, and we read it at every meeting. So it's all-inclusive. It doesn't matter what religious denomination you are, whatever your political views are. It's just all-inclusive. Come along.
That sounds great. So can you tell me a little bit about the Raglan one, Bill? It's, where you meet, what time, what days? Yeah,
it's not the first time Raglan's had an AA meeting. We had one a few years ago, apparently, and due to lack of support, the meeting itself fell over, which was a shame because the nearest meetings from Raglan are in Hamilton. I pretty much go to a meeting every day, so yeah, I've been to close to 400 meetings in 370 days.
Wow.
I've been to 3 meetings in 1 day. Because I get a lot from the meetings and our
there's
mission.
A characteristic of recovering alcoholics is a bit of obsession.
definitely obsessed.
A good one.
Yeah, and part of what we do in AA is to carry the message and support other struggling alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And that's our mission, really. It's to get as many people well as we possibly can because the stories that we hear in the rooms are terrible, you know, losing families, lives, everything. It comes at a high price, our addictions, you know. We give up everything for that one thing, and coming into AA, we give up that one thing to get everything back.
Oh, wow, what a beautiful note to leave on. But I did want to say that you guys, both of you, also have another thing that you do, and that is you are at Free FM in Hamilton. The radio station.
You're looking at me, Bill.
Come on, Stimpy.
You're going to have to put it out there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
We're actually wanting to start generating some content around around the journey of recovery, to be able to give to the station manager, Phil, there, so...
I think
we're working on the background
course.
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think getting people's stories out there and having a platform, talking about alcohol, you know, that alcohol is the number one drug in New Zealand, and a lot of people find that difficult to understand, that alcohol is a drug, because our advertisers don't tell us that.
Can I just share a couple of things around that I learned when I came into the AA rooms? I definitely an alcoholic. I had a bad time of it when I was up to my early 20s from my... mid-20s from my adolescent, and caused a lot of destruction. I came to the church back then, and that gave me a real massive reprieve, because I believed in Jesus. When I was 5 years old, I asked him to come into my heart, and strangely enough, there's a lot of difficult things happen along the way, which I think are God's lessons for us. And slowly, some of us slowly get on the path, you know. And years after being in the church, after my dad passed away, I picked up again, and it took over. I was shocked. And by the time I came into the rooms, I heard that I have, as an alcoholic, I have a physical allergy to alcohol. If I put alcohol into my body, my biochemical systems can't handle it, and it creates a craving for more. It's a poison which creates a thirst for more, and a mental obsession. And I basically I'm just start craving, raving crazy. You know, I can't think well. So, and those two work together. It's pretty destructive in the long term. I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous just over 3.5 years ago, and it saved my life. I would be dead. I had a medical issue. If I was still drinking and carrying on the way I was, it would have taken me out.
And I think that's for a lot of people would resonate with that, Stumpy, that where they come to that place of being taken out. And I think this is the crossroads of our faith too. It's often when we come to the end of ourselves that we find the supernatural and what really works, and that part that's missing in our life.
Yes.
You know, we think of ourselves as human, but there's a whole another part of us that we've yet to discover that gives us great inner strength. So I really appreciate you to both coming in here. I'm going to end there and just feel really blessed with both of you, and wish you all the best in it at the radio station in Hamilton, and what you want to do with your podcast. Can't encourage you enough there. You might I might have a few people for you you can I'm sure talk to.
well if you think you do have a drinking problem and you're looking for an answer, come to our Thursday night meeting at 7 o'clock in the old Scout Hall in Raglan. Come and ask for Bill.
There we go. That's what I wanted, that bit of gold at the end. Thanks so much, guys. That was Bill and Stimpy, and such a pleasure to have them in on my show today. I'm going to head out, well, from this interview with Jaira, my provider.
Woohoo. Thank you.
You are the love. Jaira, you are the love. I will be content, even in every circumstance. You are Jaira, you are the love. Bright upon you, I will be content, 'cause I know you would never.
peace, you give me purpose, my provider. And when my enemies surround me, got me tied up. When they throw me in the pit inside the fire, you are my God and my King and my Father. Light to my path in the darkness, hope in my heart. When they heartless falling, you reach out and call us. You're the lover of my soul, love is flawless. They don't understand my guardians. Keeping me high, I know they go low. Cause me, I know they solo.
Cause my Jire and my body, it's a man and he go.
Seen a cloud and forever over me, but I believe your rain is coming. Yeah, I've been hanging on the high hopes, cause you're the one who's making dry bones come to life. You're the light I put my trust in. Every word you say is gonna come true. You will lead me to the promised land. Everything you say is gonna happen, even though I haven't seen it yet.
I will build a boat.
You will lead me to the promised land. Everything you say is gonna happen. Stand up in faith, I'll do anything it takes with your wind in my sails. Your love never fails or fades.
I'll build a boat in the desert place, and when the flood and the water starts to rise, yeah, I'll ride the storm, cause I got you by my side. With your wind in my sails, your love never fails or fades.
I'll build a boat so let it rain.
Trading punches with the enemy. Ooh, built myself a double thick stone tower, lies higher than the eye can see. Trapped in my flesh and bone, crying out to you, Lord. I'm desperate. Love pulled out of this cage and set me free. All of my fears, like Jericho walls, gotta come down. My prison turns to ruin when your love moves
Your life is full, how incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel, uncontrollable, let the joy flow through, ha ha, giddy over pity, pretty please, let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats, warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate, when you can't articulate, just say amazing grace,
the second you realize, when you have inside, it's only just a matter of yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me today on Faith Matters. It was so good to have Bill and Stimpy in here. And hey, if you're on a faith journey like me, you might want to join me on Sunday at Raglan Area School, Surfside Church. Going to be a great speaker. We've got Denise Gardner bringing us an awesome word this weekend. And we've got Bill there too as well. He filmed his testimony last night with me, so I know how good that is, and that's going to be a great listen. So if you're wanting to know more about God and Jesus and Christian faith, come to Raglan Area School, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and enjoy a great word, awesome worship, a live band, and some awesome Raglan roast at the end. But I'm going to head out now, and I'm going to head out with Sidewalk Prophets. Come to the table. You keep safe this weekend. Look after each other. Be kind to yourself and others. And I'll see you here on Faith Matters next Friday. Tune in from 12 to 1:30 on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. And these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you. To the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who
come to the table. come to the table.